In today's first reading, Abraham is standing by his tent. Now, Abraham is a Bedouin. His wealth is in his tent, his family, which he has none except his wife, and all of his animals. And he's out in the semi-desert area of Canaan. Now, this is a very large tent, and they'd periodically move when the pasture gave out, and that was their lifestyle. And every so often, they'd run into another Bedouin or someone traveling, but not that often. And they had a tent where they'd close the flaps at night to keep the heat in, and in the morning, they'd throw them open so the breeze would come blowing through there and cool it off, not unlike what we used to do until this weekend with the back doors on Saturday nights. And so Abraham is starting to get hot. You know, they worked in the morning and the evening. And so he's kind of standing here by his tent. Sarah's inside the tent. And he spots these three strangers coming from a distance. So what does he do? He goes right out to meet them and bows to the ground. Now, Abraham has no idea who these people are. He does not know that this is God. Now, he's had a conversation with God already once in the past, at least. And our Lord said to him, he said, "I'm going to make you the father of many nations. You and Sarah." Abraham was 90 at the time. Sarah was also in that same age group. 10 years goes by. 10 years. Here come these strangers. Now, this is the kind of thing that they did at that time when someone you don't know was coming. It could be an enemy. It could be a friend. So you go out to meet them to show them there are no hostilities. And Abraham does this. It's the way people operated in that culture. But Abraham goes beyond the normal hospitality. He bows to the ground. Now, he's not worshiping them. He doesn't know who this is. But he offers to wash their feet. He says, "Please come under the shade of a tree and sit here and let me prepare you a meal." It's the noon of the day. It's time to eat. And then he slaughters an animal, which is unbelievable because that's part of his wealth. That's not normal. But Abraham is an extraordinary human being. And he's rewarded for this act of kindness. Who are these three people? Well, later it's revealed one of them is the Lord God. But Abraham doesn't find this out until later. You go on in the story and you see later they're going to go off to Sodom and Gomorrah next week after being with Abraham. So that'll be next week's story. And Abraham says something very interesting to them, which I'm sure that you all missed, unless you just happened to be in my Bible study on Tuesday. And I missed it too until I was preparing that. Abraham spots three people in the distance, and he bows before them. And what does he say to them? Anybody remember what he says? You cheated. You were at my Bible study. But that's true. He says, "Sir." The significance of that, the church fathers saw that as a symbol of the Trinity. There were three people there, but Abraham says, "Sir." You see right there, there's a hidden reference to the three gods, three persons in one God. The other place in the Old Testament we see this is in Genesis, where the Lord God walks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. Isn't it a wonderful image? I always love that. It's a symbol of prayer and heaven. And then before that, God says, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." You see, already you've got this hint that there's more to God than we realize at this time. Abraham has another benefit that Adam has. He talks to God face to face. Who's the only other person in the Old Testament that we know of that talked to God face to face? Moses. Adam, Moses, Abraham. And someday, all of us. What an exciting thought. So here comes the Trinity. They're not just passing wanderers. They have come specifically to see Abraham. One of them, we can assume, is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, our Lord himself, not a man yet. He is walking toward his deep ancestor. One day, Abraham will be way in his lineage in the past. But now he comes to meet his own distant relatives. Would you love to do that? And there they are. But they've come to test Abraham. Abraham's going to receive one of the most extraordinary gifts any human being has ever received. And that involves a huge test. If you have a huge test in your life, perhaps God has extraordinary graces waiting for you. Sometimes when things are really tough, it means there are great things about to happen. So they come to test Abraham. They come to test his hospitality. They come in disguise. This is a hallmark of God's action in our lives. This book is full of several things that we see over and over again. How do I treat my neighbor? We talk about it so often because Christ talks about it. Last week it was the Good Samaritan. This week it's Martha and Mary and Abraham. God comes in disguise. The author of the letter to the Hebrews says, some of you have entertained angels without knowing it. I would imagine a lot of us have had this experience, and we don't know it. And even if they're not angels, they're still stand-ins for Christ. At the end of our lives, God's going to open the book and he's going to say, this was me. I was here. I was here. This is how you responded to me. And we'll say, Lord, if I'd known it was you, but you didn't. Ah, that's the test. You didn't. And I came in at an inconvenient time, at the heat of the day. And I came to test you. So this book tells us how God operates in our lives, not just Abraham. It's one of the most interesting stories in the entire Old Testament, but it's not just a story. God still operates this way. You know, this week, I had, it's not simply people coming. We don't normally wash people's feet in this culture, but we do have interfaith hospitality coming in another week. We've done that for 10 years. Some of us, we do need help in that. I invite you to sign up for that. If we can't, we also, those of us who tithe are supporting it. I very infrequently can I come over there. There's always something going on. But a tithe is a way of supporting that as well in your presence if you can. I am sure that an angel's walked through our door sometime in the last 10 years. Maybe a few devils too, you know. But they're all Christ, every one of them. And it's a challenge for us. One of them, and you've heard this before, wrote us a letter and said we were so impressed with how we were treated here and the food we received. They'd been to many other places because they'd been homeless for a while, that they entered RCIA and became Catholics because of someone's cooking here and somebody's hospitality. Isn't that amazing? Changed a life. One of the greatest works. I had to go to Tillamook twice this last week. A good friend of mine was on her deathbed last Sunday, and then on Friday I did her funeral. Unfortunately, her name was Martha. I used to call her on Martha and Mary Sunday and remind her. So, hello Martha, wherever you are. And, you know, on the way down there, of course, you know what the trouble is when as you get close to the coast. Log trucks, hay trucks, milk trucks, and RVs. And I was in a hurry. And God provided a passing lane for each one of them. But I passed them with kindness. It was a time when I would have tailgated, you know. This sounds trivial, but this was my neighbor. This was the stranger who came up inconveniently. I've had computer problems for 3 weeks. I've got both of them back. They both work. They're both Microsoft products, and they won't talk to each other. I've tried everything. I've divorced them and had them get remarried, and they still won't talk to each other. I've talked to Bangalore. I've talked to South Africa. I've talked to Vietnam. I've even talked to the United States. Can you believe that? That doesn't happen very often anymore. And you know what? I told myself, I'm going to be kind to the person on the other end of the phone, even though I am very angry. And some of these people did not know what they were doing. But you know what? And sometimes I think, you know, I used to be on the phone. It used to be my voice on the other end. Many people were not kind to me. I don't care. We may feel that some of these jobs should stay in the United States, but I'm still going to be kind to that person. That's a human being. It's not their fault. It's not their fault that this is a faulty product that I've got. That's a human being. A stranger approaching me at an inconvenient time. I call my HMO, I better not say which one it is, and it takes about a half hour to get through on the phone right now with him. And when I did get through, I said, "My, you're awful busy today." She was very stressed. So was I. But please God, I've had some growth in this area. I just decided she doesn't need to hear me complain. We have this all the time. People come into our lives. Sometimes they're at church, at home, or at work. We don't choose them. But God comes in disguise. There's another place where God comes in disguise, and that's called the Eucharist. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord today. He's spoken his word. He's going to feed us in the Eucharist. If you don't receive communion, you can receive a spiritual communion. He's there for you. He's already present in our midst. He promised where two or more are gathered, I am there. He won't let us see him. We're not allowed to see him. We're in the middle of a test, remember? This is a test. I forgot this at the other masses, but, you know, I remember getting my IQ test. Do you remember that? Do you remember getting an IQ test? I think I was in the seventh grade. I had no idea that that miserable morning when I didn't feel good would follow me for the rest of my life. And yes, I do know what my IQ is because I went and got it when the Freedom of Information Act came out. And no, I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's very high. But I'm humble about it. But you see, life is like a timed IQ test. And I've said this a million times, but our entire future and eternity depends on how we handle the test right now. Don't blow the test. God is going to give you surprise visitors. They come, they're not going to come the way I described it. You're going to have your own. Those are my examples. What are yours? What in this last week, who in this last week might have been God in disguise? Do you know who it is? You're going to find out. And so am I. We don't pass all of our tests. But please God, he forgives us every time we blow it. He does want us to learn, though. We have so little time to do it. Abraham spots God in the distance, though he does not recognize him. He treats him like an honored guest, and he receives an immense blessing as they pass. He realizes it was God that touched him. May we be so fortunate as to also have our eyes opened a little bit more in the coming week.